I want to turn your attention to a new series that I'm starting this week. We're going to run through for the next 4 weeks on Sabbath. And there might be some reasons why people say, well, Tom, don't bother with that. One of those is we're in the middle of this coronavirus thing, and some people might say, hey, we've had enough of a Sabbath, so we don't need to talk about Sabbath anymore. I would argue that that's not really a Sabbath. Others might say, well, you know, Jim Freiling did a thing on Sabbath just before you got here, so that's another reason maybe we shouldn't. But I'll tell you what, this is something that's very personal for me, and so that's why we're going to do it. It's something that's had a big impact and still has a big impact on my life. I'll tell you one thing, though. It's not going to end up in a kind of legalistic thing whatsoever. And I am going to assume that Jim talked about Christ as our Sabbath rest. You know, the New Testament doesn't say, and usually when the New Testament does talk about a Sabbath, it's usually Jesus yelling at the Pharisees about it. And so, you know, we're not going to go there, but I think Sabbath is a very important thing for us to continue to consider and to practice, and I say that out of personal experience. This month, this is August, this is 30 years of ministry in our denomination for Kim and I. And since that time, that was August of 1990, we went overseas to Africa. We were there for 5 years. We left, we took Ben, our oldest child, that was the only one we had at the time. Why didn't we stop? He was 4 months old, and we took him on a plane, and we went to Africa. That same time, we started on the schedule. You know, the denomination has an employment schedule thing, and you know, the typical HR lays out salaries and vacation and all that. And as in our denomination, the salary schedule, it's like most places. It, you know, as you put in years of service, it grows, you know, you get more, all the way up until you've been working for 25 years, and then you get 5 weeks of vacation, and that's it. You get that for the rest of your career. It doesn't grow after that. So Kim and I are at 30, so we're up to 25. We passed that a while ago. But here's the thing. In the last 25 years, I've averaged just a little over 1 week of vacation a year. Now, in the first service, when I started that, Kim's ears pricked right up because she thought for sure I was going to lie to you. I used to be proud about it. I used to like talking about being busy. And things started to change about 10, 15 years ago. I read a book by Eugene Peterson. He's the guy that did the Message translation. And in that book, he said, busy should be an adjective that describes a pastor that is looked at in the same way embezzler is used to describe a banker. In fact, he said, busy to describe a person should be looked at in a negative way for everybody. Oof, that hurt. And we all do that, don't we? We love to say, oh, I'm busy. You ask somebody, how are you? Oh, I'm great, and everything's going fine, but I'm just so busy. And we love to tell people we're busy. And one of the primary reasons we do that is because that's where we get our sense of worth often. That's how we feel like we're valuable. We just love to tell people, oh, it's just so busy. And you know, it's a hard habit to break. I still say it. We just moved in this week. Oh, it's a busy week. And this is the problem. Over the last 25 years, I'd say the first 10, I'm estimating, this is me, so this could be wrong. The first 10 years of that 25, I did pretty good. I mean, I was busy, didn't take any time off, and, you know, we could manage that. Things went fine. Although I might have been fooling myself. But especially the last 15 years, I think the decline started to catch up. And this is the thing, I didn't even see it. And this is why it's so dangerous. And probably all of you are saying, oh, well, Tom, you're not saying anything that affects me. But you don't even notice it. And you don't realize you're doing any harm to your body at all, to your mind at all, because you don't even notice it. Every now and then, some things would start to kick in. About 15 years ago, I had a migraine. It's the first migraine I ever had. That's when I found out that a migraine isn't a headache. Migraines are bad. And things kept going from there, and I think it just kind of continued to grow. Events would come along, and it starts building up, and you don't realize that you're not handling them as well as you should. There's a test. I can't remember it right now. It is basically, psychologists do this, it's life events. There's a whole series of life events. Moving, starting a new job, getting married, being pregnant, divorce, all these life events. And you're supposed to take this test, just check which ones apply to you. Which ones are you going through right now? And then there's a score that goes with it, and they add it up, and they tell you what kind of a stress level you have. And what happened, I had a lot of things that are on that list. And I think most of you know, at the end of May of this year, I ended up with a migraine that was the mother of all migraines. I ended up in the hospital for 4 days. And I got to thinking, buying a house, new job, in starting to look at the things, you know, some major changes in our lives. A lot of things on that list, and they started adding up, and I end up in the hospital. Now, that's one thing. But then I got to wonder, because, see, I'm in the hospital for 4 days, and there's not a thing to do in a hospital. It's boring. And all you want to do is get out. And so you're there thinking, and I'm thinking, wait a second. When Kim and I were first married, when we went to Africa, the first 5 years of this 30 that we've worked for the denomination, it was really bad. We moved to Africa, so it was a new location. We moved to a new house. New job with a very difficult program that we were going to run. We walked into a country that was at war with itself. There was a rebel war going on. And, I mean, it was close. We could hear mortar fire off in the distance. We had a military coup take place. And everywhere you drove, you'd run into these checkpoints, and they're manned by child soldiers. And, man, they've got guns and RPGs, and they're, you know, half of them are high. And you got to negotiate those all the time. Kim was pregnant with the next child. Moved back to the States. Well, we got evacuated by the U.S. military. Kim was pregnant, so it was a C-130, so they gave her a little sling seat that she got to sit in. They just made me sit on the floor, put a strap across that hang on. Came back to the States. My dad died 2 weeks after we returned home. And we had a baby. We had all these. I remember we had 18 of the 43 on the life event. 18 of them we had. In other words, we had way worse situation back then, and we handled it far better. And I got to thinking, why? And one of the things that really stands out is that in Africa, they have a different lifestyle. We did take a lot more vacation time off while we were there. But not only that, just the way life goes day to day, week to week, is very different. It has a completely different rhythm. And what I've realized is that was a rhythm that enabled me to handle those kinds of things. Whereas the rhythm we had here led to slow decline. And so I got real interested this past 3 or 4 months in Sabbath. And I've spent a lot of time reading about Sabbath and what the Bible has to say about Sabbath. And so we want to spend some time, or I want to spend some time, talking about Sabbath. I said I wasn't going to talk a whole lot about Sabbath in the New Testament. And we talk about how Jesus is our rest. And I just want to kind of show you where some of that theology comes from before we get into some of the other aspects of it. And this is where it goes. Go to the next slide there. Jewish thought. The way people think it changes, and if you've spent time overseas, you'll understand this maybe a little more. If you're in a Western country, we think like Greek people. If you're Eastern country, you'll tend to think more like Hebrews, and so it's very different. So if you're from Europe or the North or South America even, you tend to think like the Greeks. Whereas Eastern, it's like the Hebrews. And here's one of the key ways it's different. They think in pairs, think in stereo kind of. So here's creation. And so you have day one, and if you read Genesis chapter 1, that on the first day, God created light. Okay, this isn't new, you know this. On day two, sea and sky. On day three, dry ground. Now, let's jump up. Day four, sun, moon, and stars. Day five, sea creatures and birds. Day six, animals and man. Now, if you're a Jewish person, this fits really well with how you like to think about things because you see the pairs. You notice light, day one, goes with day four, sun, moon, and stars. Day two, sea and sky, goes with day five, sea creatures and birds. Day three, dry ground, goes with day six, animals and man. And then it says, in chapter 2 of Genesis, that on the seventh day, he rested. Well, if you're used to seeing in pairs like that, what are you going to be looking for? Day 8. And it never mentions a day 8. And one of the reasons why we think that, or what we think it's pointing to, is Jesus, as Jesus is our rest. You've heard this before. And it's one of those things that we see. There's many things in the Old Testament we see is a foreshadowing of what's going to come in the New Testament. We see it in the Old. It's a foreshadowing of what's going to come in the New Testament. So this is one of those examples. That rest is fulfilled in Christ. In other words, Jesus is our rest. But what happens then is people say, good, then I don't have to worry about Sabbath anymore. And what I'm wanting to say is that no, Sabbath is still very important. I agree that Jesus is our rest. But Sabbath lays out a rhythm of life that is very good for you and I. And that's what I want us to be looking at. The seventh day is a day of rest, and it's interesting because it's about time. It's not a place or a thing. All the other creation things is stuff that, you know, place, things, you know, it's land, animals, those kinds of things. A day of rest, that's different. That's time. And we've never been good at time. We struggle with time. And we, you know, it's kind of a frustrating kind of a thing. We invent all sorts of things to help us save time. And it never works. You know that in the Nixon administration, they had a subcommittee that was supposed to be looking at time and all these things, and it predicted that by now, I think it's long past that by now, but by now, our biggest problem was supposed to be, what do we do with our leisure time because we got so much of it? Do you have that problem? We just do not do well with time. And I felt bad. You know, I had some earphones. I needed some new earphones, so I ordered them earlier this week. And they didn't come. I think they were supposed to come on Thursday. It didn't come. And I wanted it to come, or I'm watching it, and it says, okay, well, it's going to come now on Saturday. I said, okay. So we're checking back in every now and then. When's it going to come? You know, it's got to come and be there and at my door because, you know, I got to have the convenience, right? And so I'm waiting and waiting. Finally, it was a little bit after 8 o'clock last night. The guy pulls in and he comes up to the porch, drops the box off, and I'm happy. My package arrived. You know, this is like Christmas, right? My package is there. And I'm happy. And then I watch this man walking back to his truck down my driveway. It's twilight. Light is fading. And I had this sinking feeling. I said, what did I just do to this guy? Now, I know if it wasn't me, it would have been somebody else. But it hit me hard. Here's this guy. It's getting dark out, and he's still running a route. He probably has a wife at home. Probably has three little kids who can't wait. It really made me feel bad after a while. But what happened to this time? It just seems like we just mess up time. And if it's not on us making it worse for us, we're making it worse for other people. We just do not do time well. Well, first, so what I want to talk about is first God's rhythm, that God does have a rhythm. And you see it here, 6 days of work and one day of rest. And first of all, this whole series, hopefully this is the only time I'm going to talk about it, but I want to say that 6 days of work is there. And that's good. Work is good for us. Work is good for people. When I was in Africa, I worked in community development. And one of the things we know, you got to have work. Work has to be a part. If it's just a handout, it doesn't work. And I grew up in it. I grew up watching that. And you know, we have the same problem here. Work is good. And so all this talk that we're going to be talking about Sabbath, please understand that work is very important. It's very good for us. And you know that even before we get here in chapter 1 in Genesis, we see that God created a job for us. We were given a job. And so we don't want to just brush that aside. Please understand that work is very good. And we are supposed to put in 6 days of work. But then he had one day of rest. And you know, that one day of rest makes all the difference in the world. It has a huge impact on productivity. And we've seen people have tried at various times to ruin that rhythm and disrupt that rhythm. You know, there's been countries that have tried to extend the work week. You know, make it a 10-day week instead of a 7-day week. They've tried all sorts of things like that, and it never works. It always, productivity goes down. And we see this again and again. Now, one of the interesting groups is the Seventh-day Adventist. Now, some will say, you know, their diet, and I believe it does too, their diet has a lot to do with it. But Seventh-day Adventists take a Sabbath very seriously, and they live on average 11 years longer than the rest of us. So not only does it make us more productive, it's better for us. We also, I ran across this in a book. It was The Immigrant's Guide to California. It was written in 1849. And this is actually, this was for people who were taking horse and buggy and...
Wagon
trains, thank you. Across to California. And he says this: never travel on the Sabbath. Those who lay by on the Sabbath, resting themselves and their teams, would get to California 20 days sooner than those who traveled 7 days a week. I was shocked. That's a huge difference. But you think about it, when your wagon train has a flat tire, it's a little pretty serious, especially if you have a motor problem with your wagon train. You know, then it can take, you know, a long time to get that thing well again. But it just goes to prove how important that rhythm is. In fact, they've also studied like hours. So I wouldn't suggest telling your boss this, but they have studied like people who work 55 hours a week, and they've compared that productivity with people who have worked 90 hours a week. And you know what they found out? There's hardly any difference. They're about the same as far as productivity goes. All those extra hours don't help. And so we've got this rhythm that God has given us and is very good for us, it's healthy for us, and it makes us far more productive. Well, turn to Genesis chapter 2. So I want us to look at the seventh day. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." We're going to spend most of our time talking about this passage in one way or another. But I just want to lay out a few things that we read about it. First of all, he rested. God rested. How arrogant are we? Where we like to go and brag that we didn't rest. Do you think we impress God when we do that? He's thinking, man, they're not that bright. I rested. And here it says, you know, he rested. And we like to say, nah, we don't need it. The second thing that is interesting is he blessed it. And that should change our minds, because if you're like me, you might have been one of those kids who grew up and you weren't looking forward to the Sabbath. You might have, oh, well, you know, at least there's football. But you might not have a very good opinion of a Sabbath. I got myself in trouble because my mom was here this first service. When I was a kid, we used to get done with church and, man, we'd make a beeline for home. It was right across the parking lot. Mom and Dad had to stay and talk people. And there were two things that my brother, this was, as far as we were concerned, the only good thing about Sabbath. We had Kung Fu Theater. You know how the voices don't match the, that was fun. And then after that, there was big time wrestling. We got to watch Bobo Brazil and Dick the Bruiser. And then those shows would get off just about the time Mom and Dad got home, so we were okay. But it was blessed. It's meant as a good thing, and a thing that we are supposed to appreciate. It's a gift. And then the third thing it says is, he made it holy. Now, this is interesting, and I don't know if you've ever noticed it, because you've looked at this all your life, but you know this is the first thing that God makes holy. He didn't make man holy. He doesn't say he made animals and made them holy. The first thing he makes holy is a day. Now, in translation, one of the principles is the principle of first mention. And the first time something is mentioned in Scripture, it means something. You're supposed to take notice of it, because that has a big impact in how that's defined in the rest of the work. And the first time we see is here for a day that's made holy. It's also significant that he makes holy time. Time. And we started talking about this at the beginning. He makes time holy. Now, a lot of scholars who study this particular era of history, the first readers of Genesis, they say it's very interesting when you look at Genesis 1 and 2. Because at that time, in the ancient world, a king, for example, would build his kingdom. And he would build his kingdom up, and he'd build his kingdom up, and build his kingdom up. And after he had his kingdom built up, he would make something sacred. And he'd usually build a temple there. So, for example, it might be a mountain. And they would have this sacred mountain or this holy mountain. You've heard of people in ancient world that, you know, or even today, there's people, you go places around the world and you'll find a mountain that's holy. Or maybe a river. You go to India, you can find a river that they made holy. They made sacred. Okay? And so this was a particular way they would do it. And what they would do is also then build a temple or a shrine or something at that place And they would have a dedication ceremony. And at the dedication ceremony, they would all gather together and they would read all the things that the king had done to establish this kingdom. And they would recite that he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that, and then he's dedicating this, making this holy. And what these scholars say is this sounds just like Genesis 1-2. I mean, there's obviously some very significant differences. But it talks about all the things that God did, and then he makes it holy, except for then it's not a place. It's time. It's a temple in time. And I that just fascinates me, because that day is something that we need to start taking a little bit more attention to. Start taking a little bit more seriously. We have this unique God who has made this day holy. Now, the last thing I want to say is that a Sabbath is a gift that we need. We need to start looking at the Sabbath as a gift from God. I was reading about one pastor who has done a lot of study on Sabbath, and so now he has created Sabbath for his family that they follow. Pastors usually don't have a Sabbath on a Sunday because it's just not a Sabbath. I try and take Sabbath on Friday. But I don't know which day this guy took it, but he said, this is what we do. He says, we get up in the morning and we come down, and I have a small child, son. We make pancakes. And he goes, my son just takes a maple syrup and just pours it all over there. He says, it's just a big puddle. And he said, the reason he lets him do that, he says, they never let him do it any other day. But he said he read that some Jews, what their practice is this. On the Sabbath, the head of the house will go get honey. And he would give a spoon of honey to every single person in the house. And they did that because they wanted them to realize that this was a sweet gift. And they wanted them to associate Sabbath with sweetness, something sweet, a sweet gift. And so he just let them just go to town. They substitute honey with maple syrup. I want you to start thinking of Sabbath as not just a day off. A day off is different. You know, you can get all kinds of work done on a day off. In fact, probably most of you do. And there's nothing wrong with a day off, by the way. But most of the time, it's just work. It's just another day of work. But a Sabbath day where we disconnect from the stuff that we deal with and reconnect with God and we worship Him. I want us to get back to that kind of a Sabbath. That's what I'm trying to do. And man, there's things where it comes up and it hits and I got to make a decision. I don't hate to tell you this, but let me just tell you this. On Fridays, I usually don't think one bit about you. Sorry. I mean, if you got something really bad going, you know, I'll probably answer the call. But I try and disconnect. It's not just a day off. I'm trying to Sabbath. And that's what I want us to be talking about. Because I want to be a church that's healthy. And a big part of that is getting on God's rhythm. and getting a great Sabbath in. And if you're young, don't wait like I did. Make sure you start that practice in the very beginning. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you give great gifts. And I thank you for a gift of a day of rest. But Father, help us to see it more than simply not doing the other job that we usually do. Help us to see it as something sweet. Something that refreshes, revives, and helps us reconnect with you. And help us to have Sabbaths that bring joy and life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.